A very funny movie came out a few years ago called Evan Almighty. Anybody see that? Funny, right? So Steve Carell played the leading role. He played Evan Baxter, who was this mild-mannered, suburbanite, family man who finds himself being transformed into Noah. Yes, that Noah. And suddenly his hair begins to grow long and he has a flowing beard and he starts padding around in a Middle Eastern robe. Well, his wife puts up with this for a while and then she can't stand it anymore. She said, "What is going on with you? Are you on something? Are you on some mega growth hormone or what?" And he looks at her very calmly and he says, "God appeared to me. And evidently God looks like Morgan Freeman, or at least in this movie." Morgan gets all the good parts, but anyway. He says, "God appeared to me, and he told me to build an ark. He said there was going to be a flood, and I should be prepared." Well, we can only imagine. Well, actually, if you've seen the movie, you already know. We see her react exactly as we would expect. She is stunned. She is incredulous. She becomes concerned for him. Then she becomes fearful. Then she becomes angry. Really pretty much the way we would expect her and the way we would respond if somebody said something like that to us, probably, maybe not. And often that is how we would expect people to react if we were to tell them that we'd talk to God or the angels, or even a deceased loved one. We have a sense that they wouldn't believe us, and they might think we're nuts. And so we keep those sorts of things to ourselves. We're very, very careful about who we share them with. Well, evidently that was never a concern in ancient times because they had a very shared understanding of how God communicates, and it was in very big ways. So either through a male voice booming down from the sky, or perhaps more indirectly through spectacular demonstrations of supernatural occurrences. I mean, really, there was no mistaking it when God communicated. Moses had his burning bush. Adam and Eve bumped into God walking through the Garden of Eden. And Samuel heard God call his voice in the middle of the night. And Paul was struck blind and heard a voice from the heavens. So you'd have to be pretty unaware to miss it, the way they saw God communicating. But for us, it's not so easy because we have a different concept of God and we have a different sense of how God speaks. For us, it's more subtle, a little harder to discern. In unity, the God that we affirm is not a super being in the sky booming down decrees or creating natural disasters or doing all manner of major demonstrations here on earth to get our attention, but rather, God is the one power, the one presence that permeates all of life, that is intrinsic to everything and to every one of us. It is the truth. It is the essence of all goodness. It is the way of the universe, the breath of life, infinite wisdom, whatever terms speak to your own heart. But it is a living presence, and it lives in us. And so there is no sense of separation as God being outside of us. Rather, it is a sense of God living within us. And so when we have a conversation with God, that's not an external talk, it's an internal one. We go within. It's very personal, it's very private, very solemn in its own way. Well, this is a big shift from what many of us may have been taught more traditionally in our previous spiritual seeking. It's a big difference to think of God as an ever-present reality of which we are a part versus something outside judging, condemning. It's a big shift and it changes the way we think about even the voice of God. I know when I was a little girl, and maybe this is true for some of you as well, I imagined the voice of God would sound a lot like my dad's voice. Right? It would be deep, it would be loud, and it would sometimes be very scary. It never, ever would have occurred to me that the voice of God could sound like my own. That in fact, the voice of God could be my own as a higher wisdom bubbled up within me. That knowing, that sureness, that divine guidance. Well, God is in all of us, and I expect most of us have had some kind of experience where we heard the inner voice of Spirit. It may have come in words, it may have been intuition, it may have just been a feeling or a knowing. Or perhaps you haven't had an experience like that. So what I would want you to know is that if you have not heard the voice of God or had a sense of that direct communication coming to you, it isn't because you don't have that within you. It isn't because you're different in some way, it's just you haven't heard it yet. Mahatma Gandhi said, God speaks to us every day. We just don't know how to listen. And the angels exploded. We are listening. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's a day of synchronicity. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot where I was. What are you talking about? Mahatma Gandhi, thank you. Got it. We don't know how to listen, and now we're listening. All right. So this listening is not always as direct as what we just encountered, that it requires some spiritual practice. It is a turning within. It's quieting ourselves. It's becoming more present, more aware. It's attuning ourselves to God. And this is the kind of listening I believe Jesus was capturing when he used the term ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear? He wasn't talking about physical ears, although that helps too, but he was talking about listening with your entire being. Take this in, drink this in, these words of learning that I'm sharing with you. Suspend your judgment. Be willing to rethink your old paradigms. Be willing to see with new eyes. Be lifted into a higher consciousness where you see yourself differently, you see life differently, you see all people differently. It was a central message of Jesus' teachings, this idea of having ears to hear, and it actually appears in the New Testament 22 times. So sometimes when we have ears to hear and we really tune in to Spirit in that way, we do get a message. Sometimes we get it like that, and it's as clear as a bell, and suddenly we know. We feel that sense of sureness in us. Other times, it's not so clear. Other times, we may be having some thoughts, but we're not really sure if they're divine guidance, if it's God speaking to us, or if that's our own ego playing games with us. So how can we tell? How can we answer this question? Is that you, God? Is that you, God? Is that you, God? Speaking to me? So here are a few clues. Here are a few questions you can ask or tests that you can run. When you're having a thought and you're wanting to sort of test out whether this is truly divine guidance or whether this is your monkey mind chattering away with some new idea. So the first one is, God, our higher self, infinite wisdom, you substitute the word that works for you, that God never asks or tells us to harm anyone. It's always about a win-win. It's always about the highest outcome for all concerned. Now, we have all heard people say, people who have committed heinous crimes, maybe done mass killings, people who have flown an airplane into skyscrapers, people who have declared war, people who have done some terrible things, say afterward, God told me to do it. All I can say is, that's not my God. I bet it's not yours either. I know it's not. That's not the kind of God that Unity affirms, because this God, this presence, this oneness is love itself. It's compassion. It's kindness. It's benevolence. It's peace. No harm, not to us and not to others. The second way that we can test whether we are being guided by infinite wisdom is that if we are, it just seems that everything falls into place. Suddenly the strain isn't there. The doors open, amazing coincidences occur. It's like the universe rushes in to support us. Have you ever had this experience in your life? Well, yeah, look at there. I most certainly had that experience when I first looked at the church packet for Unity Renaissance, and something shifted in me, and I thought, with ringing clarity, that's where I'm supposed to be. And once I really heard that and took that into my own heart, the miracles began, right? Suddenly the third candidate you had here dropped out, and I got permission to submit my application early from Unity Worldwide Ministries, and we knew some people who'd been here, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and then I had that amazing tryout that I'll never forget as long as I live. But it was like being in the flow, and you've experienced this, you're in the flow. And it just feels so right. Well, the next one is that sometimes when we tune into the wisdom of God within us, what we discern from our highest self may not be quite what we were expecting, or maybe not even what we wanted to hear. So in the film, Evan, he keeps cutting his beard, you know? It's like, I don't want to be Noah. I don't want to be Noah. And the beard just keeps growing back, growing back. And think of so many stories in the Bible. You know, Job and Jonah. I mean, they're just like, they're just not listening. They don't have the ears to hear. And what happens? The message persists. The message doesn't let go. And there are many a minister who has resisted the call to ministry and found that it would not go away. If there's a divine message that is meant for you to hear, it will persist until you heed it. I can testify to that one. And when finally we do listen, when we tune into that voice within and we do pay attention to it, we may feel such a sense of certainty, this knowing that there's no arguing with it. There's no refuting it. There's no kidding ourselves. It's like the jig is up, you know? This is it. This is what you're meant to do. And while the way ahead may seem difficult, we still have this sense of rightness in our path. And finally, and really the best news, I guess, of all, is that when we have this experience of really connecting, attuning ourselves to God and being in that flow, we typically have the most wonderful sense of wholeness and peace. I've had times when I just felt all parts of me just came together in that moment. There was no more fear or anxiety or worry, none of that stuff going on. Just peace, wholeness. And from that sense of clarity comes tremendous courage and tremendous strength. Often we surprise ourselves with what we do because we are divinely guided. And on we go on our way. Well, of course, listening to the voice of God within and heeding that is essential on our spiritual path, but listening isn't enough. We must act on what we hear. We must let it inform our lives. So like in Unity's fifth principle, it says, it isn't enough to just know the truth, we must live it. We must take action. And that action may be as simple as changing our ways. Maybe we offer an apology. Maybe we offer forgiveness. Maybe we make amends with someone who'd been an adversary and see the light of the divine in them. Perhaps we open up a whole new way of thinking and being for ourselves and we release what no longer serves us. Receive the guidance and we act on it. This can be so powerful in our lives. I think it is the force of transformation in our lives. And sometimes when these things are going on, it's hard to have the words or even the courage to share it with other people. But if this guidance is divine in you, you will know it because there will be no harm. It will be for the highest good of all. Everything will fall into place. You have no more interest in resisting. And you feel a great sense of wholeness and peace. Well, it may be a little frightening to share that with others. The right listener, well chosen, can be life-changing for you and for them. And so I'd like to share the story of a very famous Unity leader. And what happened when he tuned in, he was really flooded, actually, with the voice of God, the wisdom of God pouring in and through him. And he wrote it down, and what he shared not only changed his life, but it changed the life of thousands, if not millions, of other people. So James Dillett Freeman was praying in a chapel one day. He was praying because his beloved wife of many years was going through tremendously painful cancer. And he was at a place of despair, feeling abandoned and very confused. He and his wife had dedicated their lives to God's work. How could this be happening? Why was this happening? He was seeking a sense of support and some clarification. And so he went through this process that we've described. He opened up his inner self. He listened with his soul. And what came in through him was the most magnificent and powerful poem called I Am There. And we'll share it in just a moment. But some interesting things about this poem all came from him sharing that with others, and it went out to bless the world, and by golly, it's now on the moon because Neil Armstrong took it up on one of his space flights, and it's now up in one of the space capsule that they planted on the moon. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I will also share with you just a great divine synchronicity. This poem is very, very meaningful for me because, as it turns out, this was the poem that was read on the day that I became a new member at the new member ceremony at Unity Church of Portland in 1980. It is so moving, and it's such an affirmation, really, of faith. And so we're going to listen to it. Not only are we going to listen to it, but we're going to hear it from James Dillett Freeman. Come on out, James. No, just kidding. He passed away 2002. That would be big. No. We have a recording of him reading this beautiful poem. And so I invite you to listen to it. Really let it seep into your soul. We're going to use it as a way to enter into our meditation. And so just relax. Open those ears to hear and enjoy.
Do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me, yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. I am at work, though you do not understand my ways. I am at work, though you do not recognize my works. I am not strange visions, I am not mysteries. Only in absolute stillness, beyond self, can you know me as I am. And then but as a feeling and a faith. Yet I am there, yet I hear, yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. Even if you deny me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you and you are in me. Only in your mind can you feel separate from me, for only in your mind are the mists of yours and mine. Yet only with your mind can you know me and experience me. Empty your heart of empty fears. When you get yourself out of the way, I am there. You can of yourself do nothing, but I can do all, and I am in all. Though you may not see the good, good is there, for I am there. I am there because I have to be, because I am. Only in me does the world have meaning. Only out of me does the world take form. Only because of me does the world go forward. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of living cells are founded. I am the love that is the law's fulfilling. I am assurance. I am peace. I am oneness. I am the law that you can live by. I am the love that you can cling to. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. I am. Though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith in me is unsure, my faith in you never wavers. Because I know you, because I love you, beloved, I am there.
Let's continue on with our meditation and just allow ourselves to take a deep breath in. Release and let go into this sacred space, knowing that God is here in us and enfolding us. Allow yourself to breathe into this now moment, to release any worries or concerns, and just feel that beautiful reassurance, that comforting presence in you. Allow yourself to relax from the top of your head, just moving very gently down to the tips of your toes. All is well. We take to heart the wise words of James Dillett Freeman. When you get yourself out of the way, I am there. And so we allow ourselves in this moment to just leave aside our busy chattering minds, attune ourselves to spirit, and allow that spirit to speak to us in the silence. Hearts filled with gratitude, We say with every fiber of our being, every cell, every tissue, every part of us, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Spirit, for these learnings unfolding in our life, for this twisted up and down path that we follow, for the knowing that we are all moving forward to our highest good, for we are never alone. God is there. And for the truth of this knowing, for the joy of sharing our journey, we are so grateful. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen. God. Time in our service for the sharing of our love offering. I invite you to give in love. Give as the love that you are, knowing that your gifts go forward into the world to help others transform their lives and yourself as well. So please join me in our offertory blessing. Together, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am. All that I give and all that I receive. Thank you, God. Wow. Said it like they mean it.